Again, it's Pentecost, and it's a day in Christianity that is saved and set apart to celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. And that's the birthday of the church, right? And we should all have a birthday cake and some of the hats, you know, and do a thing with it. Right? No. And excuse me, brother. And there's only one problem that I find with all of this. And I'm not sure about it. I'm just going to say it and let you evaluate if that is true or not. But I think that the problem that we have is that I'm not sure if we really know this Holy Spirit. And I wonder if we know, in fact, that the Spirit of God is with us and moving us forward to accomplish something. And we call that God's mission. And I do understand, I do know that the Spirit of God is slippery, right? It's like a jellyfish. Have you ever been in the ocean and had a... No? Oh, come on. No one? Oh, yeah. Jellyfish? Yeah. You know, they are slippery. They are, you know... And actually, as a matter of fact, you want to stay away from them, right? You want to stay away from jellyfish. Jellyfish can sting you. And it's hard to consider getting a hold of it. Maybe that's how we see the Holy Spirit. Maybe we think that it might sting us. Amen. But I wonder if you can imagine Mount Air Christian Church experiencing the sting of the Holy Spirit. As a congregation, can you imagine what it would be like? What if we were all invaded by the Spirit of God? Do you think that we would be speaking in different languages? Or do you think that we would be prophesying? Do you think that we would be preaching on the streets? Do you think that we would be witnessing with boldness? What would happen if the Holy Spirit just decided on its own to invade each one of our lives in a way that we couldn't control? Well, I don't know. There's a lot of possibilities. But maybe, we'd like to find out. Maybe there's this desire to find out what that would be like. Maybe it is something that we need just to show, Lord, that we have interest in. Now, as we saw last week, the disciples went to a place and they devoted, right? You remember that word? They devoted themselves to prayer. They exercised that hope that what God's and Christ's words to them were real, and that he was actually going to provide this Spirit for them. They exercised that hope. And I don't know, but again, I say, might we come hopefully devoted to him? So please tell me why we did not read the typical passage that we read on Pentecost. Right? You know the typical passage? It's Acts 2, right? And that is the story about the Spirit of God being manifested on the church. Why didn't we read that? Well, maybe I'll tell you. our denomination spent about 150 years trying to figure out how to become, as the so-called primitive church. You know where our denomination was born? It was born in the frontier. And you know out of what was it born? It was out of a desire to reconstruct what the church was like. They thought that the church had become something else than what the church of God should be. And it's called the Restoration Movement. They tried to restore things back to where they were. Now, after 150 years or so, they realized there was something wrong with that idea. You know what it was? They couldn't find out in Scripture what it said about watching TV. Is it cool to watch TV? And they didn't find out in Scripture what it said about listening to the radio. You see, there were things that are happening in modern life that they couldn't figure out just coming out of Scripture. So for the last 60 years, more or less, the church has engaged in seeking of the modern way of being church. And guess what? It missed the boat. Because modernity is gone. You realize that, right? We are in the postmodern world. So all this time that the church was trying to figure out what was it to be a modern church, now we need to figure out all over again. And believe me, churches out there are doing just that. They're looking at themselves and seeing, okay, what is it? What is it that is missing? What is it that we need to do? How is it that we should not only conduct ourselves, but how do we promote the kingdom of God today? Hello? Right? Okay, I'm not losing you, right? So this is what we are about. When we say reach, teach, and serve, it is about, okay, how do we do this now? How do we witness to the world now, today? Okay, I know some of you are saying, all right, I'm 90 years old. See that? All right, I'm 90 years old, and, you know, I've been there. I've done that. Right? Yeah. We've seen it, right? We've seen it. And we know. We know that that comes into mind and says, okay, it is time for me to now let go. You know, there has to be a new generation to do these things, right? That is the warning button. No. There is something that we can do for the kingdom of God regardless of what stage of life we're in. Yeah, I didn't hear it. Amen. All right. So now, excuse me, please. I know these guys are excited back there. I like it. Now, not all churches that have a band and a stage and a light show and that they provide great presentations have the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? As a matter of fact, the bigger the church, the more they are susceptible to temptation. The more that they have these other things, they are more likely to have trouble seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And I can attest to that. I've been in 3,000 and 4,000 member churches, and I tell you, The larger the church, the harder it is for it to keep its north where it needs to be. And I think that sometimes even not the large churches, but the medium-sized churches in any church can be tempted. It can be tempted to think of themselves as cool, and they can be tempted to forget who's their master. So we read in Galatians, since we try to figure out one more time what is the church about, and we try to figure out what it does it mean to go back to our roots in order to discern our times, in order to discern our times. You know what that word discern means, right? It's an active effort. It's an active effort. Hello? It's an active effort. Now, here Paul in Galatians is not only greeting his congregation, is not only trying to guide this congregation in the walk of Christ. There were so-called Judaizers in the way who were basically concerned with keeping of the Hebrew rituals as proof that they were the real believers. You see, there was this anxiety already about the other church, right? There is the Jewish church, and then there was the other church. Right? They were called Gentiles. And there was this rift. And they were saying, no. In order to be a real Christian, you need to be like this. You need to be like the Jews. And they were trying to figure out what it meant to be real believers and real practicing Christians. And Paul must first tell them about his standing as a teacher. He says, okay, first of all, you need to know who I am. You need to know where I come from. You need to know that I've been there and done that. Right? That I know what the Jewish community does. I know exactly how they practice. And I know that it's not only my pedigree that really puts me in this position and be able to teach you. It is my call. It is my call to witness to you about what I have learned and what I have seen and what I have been taught by Christ. Right? And not only that, but what implications does that have in the way that I think about God and theology and all that? And he justifies his teaching. And then in his teaching, he pins the flesh against the spirit. Okay. Now, people, you know that we think of the spirit as something else outside of us. Right? When we speak about the spirit, we think of a spirit of something that is outside of ourselves. But there's no such thing. Your spirit is you. Hello? Right? Your spirit is everything that you are. And guess what? The flesh becomes that one thing that is just a conduit for your spirit. Amen? Are you with me? So when we talk about the spirit, sometimes we're confused. Because we're thinking, okay, well, should I be doing the things that my spirit tells me or what my flesh tells me? You see where the confusion comes in? Because we're thinking that the battle is my spirit with my flesh. Now, I do want to make that distinction. Because what we're talking about is the Spirit of God. Hello? Right? It is the Spirit of God. Our spirit is alive and kicking. Our spirit is, again, part of our expression of who we are. And our flesh, it is tightly connected to our spirit. It's not that we have a multiple personality self, right? It is not that we have a little angel here and a little devil here, right? Both at, you know, at us and trying to guide us in different directions. It's just ourselves. And this is what, this is how I know it. Paul attaches our sinful nature to us. Flesh and our spirit. And you know how I know that? If you look at your text in the Bible, you will find something that is key for you and me. Right? The word spirit is spelled with a capital S. I don't know if that was the case with the Greek. But the interpreters have actually helped us to understand that we are talking about the Spirit of God. And when He is pinning flesh and spirit, it's not flesh and our spirit, it's flesh and the Spirit of God. You see, the Spirit of God has an agenda, has a reason for being, it has a way that He wants to guide us, and our flesh is the one that is struggling. So, I think that this has serious implications for us. You see, when we talk about living in the Spirit, it's not a matter of us living in ecstasy perpetually. It's not a matter of us being so spiritual that we levitate. Right? That we're off the ground and we're walking on cloud. That is not it. And it's not a matter of finding ourselves in a lofty manner. Sometimes that's how we see the world and the church and each other. Oh, that person is so spiritual. Have you heard that pastor? My gosh, that pastor is full of power. And they believe that sometimes they levitate from the platform. You see, I think it's not that. I think that our struggle is to allow ourselves to be guided by the Spirit of God. Guided in each aspect of our lives. And guided in purpose. I will repeat that. I think the matter here is to be guided in purpose. If you are led by the Spirit, then you're not under the law. Right? That's what Paul says. If you're led by the Spirit, then you're not under the law. And Paul states this to indicate that the reality is that we can follow our own spirit and flesh, or we can follow God's Spirit. I mean, that's where we're at. We can follow our own purposes, or we can follow God. Wow. Now you notice, right? Now, can you see the picture? Can you see the picture of how easy it is to let the Spirit of God just sit aside? Because we are very important. And what we think and what we have in our minds and we have going in our lives usually takes first place. Aye, aye, aye. I know I'm getting in trouble. I know I'm getting in trouble. Now, you guys know who Mark Zuckerberg is? Yeah? Some of you do, right? Facebook guy, right? There you go. He's the guy who stole Facebook. I mean, No, sorry. He started Facebook. You see, he had a commencement speech in Harvard the other day, and He was full of great ideas and full of great quotes. And I found one that I think hits the spot. He said, purpose is that sense that we are part of something bigger than ourselves. Imagine that. Even the people that not necessarily are Christians know that purpose is a matter of something that is bigger than us. He says, that is that feeling that we are needed and that we have something better ahead to work for. Do you hear that? Purpose is what creates true happiness. He's not an evangelist. But just listen to those words. Purpose is what creates true happiness. Interesting. Purpose being linked to happiness. And the question then becomes is, how do we define purpose? According to which spirit? You see, because we can create our own purpose for lives, right? Right? We can. And Paul says that when we do that, there's all kinds of things that show that off. I'll just mention a few ones. Drunkenness, ambition, jealousy, idolatry, sexual immorality. You see, I call these that selfish spirit. That is me. That is me when I have become the center of it all. Envy, things like that. You know what I'm talking about, right? And then he exposes those marks that identify God's spirit. And he says, okay, these are the fruits, right? Patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, love, peace, joy. You see what I'm talking about? You see, when we are involved in ourselves, we might be sidetracked. But when we are walking together with God, then these things will be manifested in us. I like that. And I think that they are, those marks can be considered that selfless spirit. If your purpose in life is to fulfill all your dreams, you're going to fail. That goes so against the culture nowadays, right? Because guess what? I think that you have much, much more dreams that you can fulfill. I do. I would like to be the CEO of a corporation and also be a pastor in Hawaii. Can you do those? Right? Let me rephrase that. A pastor surfer in Hawaii. Right? You see what I'm talking about? You see, when we are involved in our own way of thinking and things, you know, I am not talking about desires. You know, we may have dreams that are great to think of to fulfill. I'm not saying that. But we just have too many of them. There's much more that we desire than what we can get. But if our purposes in life are aligned with God's Spirit, then we can be happy all the time. We can be happy all the time because God's Spirit will lead us to the things that we need to do with what we got and the things that we can accomplish even in our context, not in a dream, but in our lives today. Think of this. Jesus emptied himself, right? Jesus got rid of all that godly glory and decided to come to earth. And he not only walked with the disciples and taught the disciples, but then he showed them what was to follow God's purposes. He showed them by the ultimate sacrifice. He always was looking to his Father to accomplish the Father's purposes. And we also are called to seek God's ways, to seek God's purposes in our lives. Now, this will not happen overnight. This takes a lifetime. Amen? Because every day is a new story. Every day we encounter different situations. Now, Mr. Zuckerberg also said, the idea of a single eureka moment is a dangerous lie. You know what I mean by that? Or what he meant. The idea that, I'm going to have this great thing and it's going to happen, right? It doesn't happen that way. And he says, it makes us feel inadequate since we haven't had ours. It prevents people with seeds of good ideas from getting started. You see, that idea that if I have this great thing, it should happen, right? If I have this great dream, it should manifest itself. Well, it somewhat happens to us in our Christian life. Sometimes we think that this filling of the Spirit is going to happen in an instant. That it's going to manifest itself in a moment. Now think about it. If ideas are not a matter of a single moment, but they're developed in a process, you know how many times, Edison who created the light bulb, right? You know how many times he tried before he got it? 906 times, approximately, if I'm not mistaken. He had to try 900 times. See, he had this idea, but he had to keep trying. He had to keep going and keep developing that. So it is a developing process. It is a walking with Christ. It is a walking with the Spirit of God. And it does not happen overnight. It's about life. So it takes a lifetime. But you can see progress and you can determine if you're gaining ground, right? That's why I titled the service, the message today, Gaining Ground. Because you can see if something is happening in your life that is actually showing some fruits, right? In the way that we walk. So, Paul gives us this list of fruits of the Spirit to help us see if our lives are aligning with God. And don't worry, if it stings a little bit, it's okay. Because it is the Spirit of God that is doing the job to guide us to fruitfulness. So gaining ground is not about me, but it's about God. And how can we be shaped and formed for His purposes in our lives, wherever our stage of life is? And I have this written here. All right, I'm done. It is time. Good thing I don't have my glasses because I can't see what is back there. I can't see the clock. But we can. And this is not any of the Obama things. Yes, we can. No. We can. We can be full of the Spirit of God. That is something that every Christian has the opportunity to experience. Again, it's not that we're floating. It's not that we will experience ecstasy, but that we will walk with our Lord. And I pray that we just engage in that process. And as we see those seeds that we planted in opening our hearts to God, they might germinate and fulfill us and direct us to His purposes. Let us pray. Lord, as we celebrate that day where Your Spirit just was manifest in a special way for the church to get started, we wonder, how do we do that today? How can we celebrate this birthday? How can we reorient our lives to go for Your purposes? And Lord, we may think of things. We may have dreams. We may have ideas in our hearts. But let us not be stopped by the impossibility of these ideas. Let us not be halted or pinned back by the thing of the thoughts that I am not enough. Let us work at it. Let us just step ahead in your life, in the life of adherence to the Spirit of God. And help us to see through what You have in Your purposes. I wonder if someday we will see more than just this one building, more than this one congregation attached to the ministry of this church. I do not know. But if it's in Your purposes, Lord, let us walk toward it. And we pray these things, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.